You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Attention all high school juniors and seniors looking to play football at the collegiate level. Register for Cleveland Browns High School Showcase taking place on Sunday, March 9th. More than 50 college coaches have been invited. Space is limited. Visit clevelandbrowns.com to register. We were just laughing because you had mentioned you watched Stripes last night.
I did.
In honor of the death of Harold Ramis, actor, director, directed Stripes, Animal House, just some great movies.
Classics. Caddyshack.
Caddyshack. Ones that...
Every movie that was good for a period of time,
Ghostbusters. Spoke to our generation, well, my generation and your generation. And I love that. I love that you love it because I remember, you know, literally these were movies I saw at the movies. Yeah, it wasn't like waiting for something to, you know, watch on DVD or whatever back in the day because you didn't deal with that. So the movies were these were movies, these were classics.
They're classics.
My friends and I still recite lines to them randomly. And it's sad to see him pass at 69 years old, a young man, but so talented. And that was the thing. People didn't realize what he was involved in beyond like Ghostbusters as the writer or co-director or whatever. He put together the creative on this stuff. As an actor, he was okay. You know, he had some fun lines himself.
Egon Spengler?
He was Egon. And then Bill Murray's sidekick, of course, in Stripes. I loved, you know, the stuff that he remembered about, you know, he talks about Wisconsin. He goes, yeah, last time I was in Wisconsin, I got my ass kicked, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, there's just some classic lines, and we were laughing about it. So it was fun stuff, but sad.
Very sad. But, I mean, you have to think from the period of 78 to, I'll call it 78 to 86, okay?
Yeah.
He either wrote, directed, or starred in Animal House, yeah. Meatballs,
right.
Caddyshack, Stripes,
yep.
Ghostbusters, Back to School, Armed and Dangerous. I mean,
I saw the majority of those.
It's unbelievable.
At the theater.
Then he did Groundhog
Day.
I'm
loving the fact that you even like care and know about those because you didn't go to the theater for any.
I watched Caddyshack every single night on my birthday.
Think of what you were born for.
I don't know why, but I watched Caddyshack every single night on my birthday.
But was it who introduced you to it? Was your parents? Somebody got you hooked.
I've been watching it.
I mean,
since
somebody
as long
very
as
cool
I can
in
remember.
Your family because
yeah,
you didn't
it had
know
to be
me.
My dad.
You didn't have my cool influence
right.
on
I
you,
did.
So
You're
it
right.
had to...
I think it had to be my dad.
Okay, we should get. 216-578-0850. We know people now are responding this topic that we brought up, which is the NFL's intention of trying to legislate out racial slurs from games with penalties. Gary in Strongsville has a thought on that.
Well, my thought is, you know, there's white people that are H people that are Southern. You could call them a hillbilly. You could call all kinds of people a bunch of different names. But they're not legislating that.
Well, you're right. When we go now, Gary, thank you for the call. I get your point. At first, I wasn't sure where you were going, but now we got Carly McCord in our studio here, who's from Louisiana.
Not a hillbilly.
And you are not a hillbilly.
No,
Let's establish that. But no, that wasn't his point was how far do you go because you can insults, slurs. Whatever they aren't, and when they're done this is the thing, you know, and then the context and the argument's going to be made, well, wait a minute, this can also be a term of endearment, but I'm sorry, you know, there are folks who don't, as I keep citing John Wooten on this, he doesn't see it in any possible way as a good thing to have said to a African-American from either another one or anyone else. I mean, it doesn't make it any better in his eyes that it said, you know, and as you said, had this come from Caucasian players, you're talking about Caucasian players, the response would be.
If this had come from players, period. This
players,
isn't a
period.
Movement of the players. The players don't care about this.
The players don't care about it, and it's hard enough to officiate what players are doing in the game to now add dialogue into the picture. I mean, come on, we're going to go from Omaha to what? You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I agree. We want to get into Mike Pettine because
yes.
He talked on the special, the combine special that we had, and there are some clips from that. So right off the bat, Mike Pettine was talking about, you know, when you get into the needs of the team and how to make the Browns a better club, and it starts with scoring.
we're looking for explosive athletes that can score points. I think that's the critical thing when you start to evaluate the skill positions on offense, is when you get the ball in their hands, can they score points for you? And again, I know it's Cleveland, and people talk about it. You know, I'm a defensive head coach, and we want that mentality. I don't want to win games 13-10, 10-9. Okay, those are too stressful. We want to score points.
I like that. And listen, the bottom line is you must outscore your opponent to win. It's really that simple at the end of the day in the National Football League. That's how these types of athletics boil down to. Do you have more points than the other team? So I'm glad to know that the head coach of the Browns wants to score points. Now, there are many ways to get there, as we've seen molds and paths. And obviously, when we go through our needs, which we're going to do here soon on the show of the team, quarterback's going to be a big one on there. But Mike Pettine's not feeling any pressure to draft a quarterback.
I don't feel that pressure, and I think we all, when we talked about it, that we agreed that it falls back to that. You don't want to draft for need. If you have a player that's rated higher, why would you take a lower-rated player just because the perception is that you need that?
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. Don't reach for the quarterback. Don't feel that sense of urgency and pressure just to get the position filled, even though you need the position filled, even though it's a huge gaping hole in this football team. I am not sold on the idea that the Browns have their answer in Brian Hoyer, and that's not because I don't believe in Brian Hoyer's ability, but I just don't know. I'm not ready to sign up for him to be the guy until I see a lot more through this offseason, certainly through this preseason, when it's his show. He came out of nowhere last year. It wasn't his show. He was the third guy, the clipboard holder, so to speak, although I don't know if he ever actually held a clipboard, but he certainly wasn't going to hold the football as a starting quarterback for the Browns when he got here. And coming back now from that knee surgery, there's a lot of things that we need to know about his recovery and how this team, I think this team absolutely has to come out of this offseason process via the draft and or any other means possible to have to shore up and have better faith that the quarterback position is there for this team to have a chance to succeed. And this is what Mike Pettine said, though, that you don't have. He's saying that the superstar isn't always necessary.
We don't want to lose sight of the fact that the impact of the importance of the quarterback, you can minimize that by being great around them. You look at how the Seahawks won the Super Bowl this year. Quarterback's very good. Okay, mm-hmm. Didn't turn the ball over, was effective, made plays when he had to. But you wouldn't put him in the top three or four. You wouldn't pencil him into the Hall of Fame. They played great defense. Mm-hmm. They ran the football. They were able to score points. They were opportunistic. I think there's a lot of different ways to win. And if you don't have that guy, the Bradys, the Mannings, the Breezes, that can just take a team and go up and down the field regardless mm-hmm. of what's going on around them. If you don't have that guy, don't force that.
And I agree with that. And I think a lot of people who are on the Sammy Watkins bandwagon, and I think that is a fine way to go, would say, listen, look at what Josh McCown did as a starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears. 13 touchdowns, one interception. Is Josh McCown in the top 20 quarterbacks in the NFL? No, probably not. But because he had Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, he had Martellus Bennett, a tight end, or back who could catch the ball in the backfield, in Matt Forte, and a smart offense under Mark Trestman, he was able to thrive. And that was a very good offensive football team. If the Bears defense was at the level the Bears defense had been in the past, that Bears team would have made a lot of noise this year because of the skill position talent they had on offense. So I think that's where I think that line of thinking comes from. Mm-hmm. And I think it's true. And I think if you look at the Browns and you say, okay, you get Gordon, you get Watkins, you've got Cameron, you could go out in free agency and probably pretty cheaply add a Golden Tate or add a Julian Edelman to play the slot or even draft maybe with the second pick, trade back in the back of the first round, take Brandon Cooks. All of a sudden, you have one of the most explosive offenses in the NFL. And one thing that I want people to remember, and Mike Pettine does too, is that Kyle Shanahan's offense has been great throwing the ball, but it's also been good running the ball. And it is something that is key to that offense, always being able to run the football.
The flexibility of his system was one of the things that was most enticing. They've always been able to run the football. I think that's a critical thing. And I know that's as cutting edge and as much as the game changes, that's how much it stays the same. I think you still have to be able to run the football.
Yeah, I think that is huge, and that is, it's not just about balance, but it's also, and go back to Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, that threat, that Marshawn Lynch threat had so much to do with how defenses had to play them and how much it opened up for Russell Wilson, how much it opened up for the receivers, how much that need to be tighter to the line of scrimmage, you can adjust from that, get a little movement from the quarterback, and boom, you're finding open spaces for wideouts. Something this Browns team didn't have a sniff of last year at all. All right, so we're going to get more into the needs of this football team, and Nathan and I are going to break this down and rank the needs of the team going forward, and then what we're going to, as this process unfolds, we'll tell you what the needs are, and we'll tell you how they're going to address them through free agency, through the draft, as we continue on through the days and weeks leading through those processes and leading up to the draft in May. He is Nathan, the Nate Dog Zagura. I'm Vic Carucci. It's Cleveland Browns Daily. We're driven by Liberty Ford.